The title of the sermon is Gathering the Sheep. And when I think of this title, I really think a good deal about this community and the fact that we all have work to do in this community of Harvey. So we know that, right? Okay, good. That's good. Let's keep it in your mind. That's what we have work to do. And as God's people, we should have a broken heart for the people who do not know God. You know, we know him, but there are many people out there who do not know God. There are people out there who do not even know the name of Jesus Christ. You know, you see people say, God, but what about Jesus? What about the Holy Spirit? You know, you don't hear those things. But we are here to really do all the good we can in this community. And I think everybody's on board, right? You really want to get out there and work and really help the people who live in this community. Good. As I was saying, as God's people, we should have a broken heart for the people who don't know Jesus. And there are many, many, many people out there who do not know Jesus. There are many people out there who do not know God. They don't want to know God because they have a particular way they want to live. And if you say, well, I believe in God, he wants me to do this, then you start feeling guilty. But if you just don't have nothing to do with him at all, things can be different. Our heart as believers compels us to pursue the lost. The people who do not know Jesus are truly lost. They're lost. They really are. And we can sit here, this congregation, all of us who are the children of God, and we know Jesus Christ, and we know about the Holy Spirit. So we can feel safe, but what about the people in the community? Do you really think about those people? Do you think about what they are going through? Do you think about the problems and difficulties that they have? Do you think about that person who sits next to you on the bus or the L and probably going through many, many difficulties? Do you stop and think about other people that's outside of this congregation? So that tells us we have a lot of work to be doing. We are really, when we join Jesus Christ, we are joining him where he is working. It's not like once we get started, and then Christ will come along and help us. But Jesus Christ is already here. He's already in this community. We just have to get up and start working, really. And one of the thoughts we had about people praying on the corners, people going door to door and getting to know the people in this community. You have to have a relationship with a person. You really do. And I know you all just anxious as you can be to get out there and start working, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did hit a couple, yes, but it's all right. We are to be the eyes, the ears, the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. So he's looking to us to get out there and to work, to do something. If we don't join Jesus in the work he's doing, who else is going to do it? You know, somebody else said, the people in that church, they don't want to do anything, but we'll volunteer. We'll help. Is there anyone else who will help if we do not go and join Jesus Christ in this community? You know somebody? Who? You know of anyone? Oh, you don't know of anyone. Great. You're right. There's nobody. So that means we have the responsibility on our shoulders, right? And we all are willing to go out and help. I have a book here. Let me take the thing out. A book. Chicago Neighborhood Prayer Guide. I've had a couple of persons in the congregation that have this book. And the thing about it, we know how bad off Harvey is. But they put a numerous communities, gave information about that community and what was going on and the things we need to really pray about. But the interesting part, I went through this book. I did not see one single thing about Harvey. They didn't even put the name in the book. If they did, maybe Mrs. Bark or Lisa could tell me, or Audrey or somebody, but I did not see one single thing about this community. And they have written things about the other communities. They have a map in here and all. So what happened that we got left out? What do you think happened? That we were left out. This community could be left out with all of the problems we have. But God, Jesus knows. He knows all of the problems that's here. And maybe we were left out of this book. But in time, when we get out there and start doing work and joining with other people, we may be in this book. And we may be number one with the work that we are doing. It's possible. One of the things they wrote about, I'm going to give you maybe three communities that they did write about because they're close. Riverdale, we know Riverdale has a host of problems. South Holland was one, Roseland, and you could go on and on. Communities that we are aware of. And you know, so how could they skip us? How could they skip this community? But they did. Now let me read what it says in Luke 15, 1 through 7, which is a key scripture. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So you can imagine, here Jesus, he's standing here, ready to give them the good news, and what happened? You have the people, well, the sinners, of course, you know, and people who want to hear, and then you got people standing who do not want to hear this. They say, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about, you know, and so on. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. Then he calls his friends, you know, today probably get on the phone or the cell phones or whatever, Facebook. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there would be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So to me, the picture that I have is how important it is for us to reach out to the unchurched. How important it is for us to develop relationships with the people in this community, you know. And we can do this because we know, right? We know that God doesn't give us anything that we can't do. If he gives us an assignment, it's something we can do. I know we would have a tendency to say, "I can't do that. Give it to somebody else." You know, somebody else is all, you know, this is what we tend to do. Well, I will do this or do that or whatever. We may pick and choose. But a lot of what you hear is, I can't do it. I can't do it. And you know you can do it. If Jesus Christ is behind you and he said for you to go out and do it, you can do it. It's just your mind that said, you don't want to do it. But a lot of time it's not so much not wanting to do. But I think what happens to people is that they become afraid. And people are fearful. When they become fearful, it's just easier. Look, I don't want to get up there and mess up. I can't do it. I don't believe I can do it. They may say I can. I can't. And then you might fall down. This is your fear that you're going to fall down. You're going to fail. But what happens? If you fail, what are you going to do? You get up. You get up. That's what you do. And there's no sin in failing. There's no sin. So don't be looking at, well, I may mess up, I can't do it. If Jesus said do it, you can do it. Amen. So you just really need to keep that in mind. But let's look at the sheep that wandered away. Now this person had 99 sheep. At one point he had 100. But you had the one. It wasn't 3, 4, 5, or 10. One sheep that walked away. So do you think about, well, what happened? That one sheep walked away. Why? What do you think? It says that the sheep listens to the voice of the shepherd. Listen to the voice of the person who is caring for them. But yet one sheep walked away. One sheep was lost. One sheep that the shepherd had to leave the 99 that he could count on and to go and look for this one sheep who was lost, wandering a while forever. And he went many places. He might have gone up into the mountains, to the valleys, up in the wilderness or wherever. But the thing about the shepherd, and if you think about Jesus Christ in this, he was doing every single thing he could do to find that one sheep. Maybe we would have been happy to say, well, we got 99 here, you know, so why worried about that one, you know? But that's not how he works. He left. And somewhere along the line, and sometimes I think about people in the church. People, you got these 99 folks, let's say, instead of sheep, 99, that's listening to what the shepherd says. Let's say, listen to Jesus. Then you have this one who was listening, because he was part of this 100 at one point. And he gets to the place, I don't know. He stopped listening. And he goes astray. And that's the same thing that happens to us. When any time we stop listening to God, when we stop listening to Jesus, that's what's going to happen to us. We will go astray. But the good part of this is that there was someone to go after him, or him or her, whoever it was. And that is an important part. I really feel an important part in here because, for one thing, everybody needs support. We all need support. So the people in this community, they need a whole lot of support. They really do. And just think, since we are the walking example of Jesus Christ, since he is looking to us to be his ears, eyes, hands, and his feet. And we're going to be out there marching. And one day, you know, we're going to go through this community. We kind of talked about it a little bit in prayer partners today, things that we would do. But the question is, why did this one sheep leave? Everybody's hearing God. Everybody's hearing Jesus Christ. Everybody's hearing the voice. And we know sheep, they respond to the voice of the shepherd. But this one got away. could it be possible that we kind of knew about this person that had problems, you know? We didn't do anything, you know? They'll straighten up, they'll do whatever we excuses we have. And the next thing you know, the person was further and further away. And as time went on, the person ended up out of the church. But then we started praying and fasting and asking God for his divine intervention to bring this person back. And we know that God hears prayers. He listens to the prayers we send up. And we're just sending up all sort of prayers for this person who's gone. And when he or she returns, that is a very, very happy time, right? We really rejoice. This person is back. And then whether you get on the phone, you know, so-and-so was at church and she's coming back, or whoever she or he. But one of the things I was just thinking, I said, well, the angels in heaven are so happy about one. But just think how happy they're going to be when we go through this neighborhood and have all of these people that began to know God, that know about Jesus Christ, who really start to change their life. And with help, they can do that. With our help, you know, we have to have God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to help us, but they're there to help us. And it could be many, many, many times better. And I guess Juanita got me on that many, many times. Okay. I want to read something to you. Okay. Let me find it. You probably have heard this before. We've done it at Mother Daughters, but I know only a few people show up, so for the whole congregation, let me read this. Satan, now you really think seriously about this, what he's doing, and probably a lot of us can identify with this. It's a Satan called a worldwide convention of demons. In his opening address, he said, we can't keep Christians from going to church, because they come to church, but it's what follows after they come to church and leave, you know. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth. We can't even keep them from forming an intimate relationship with their Savior. Once they gain that connection with Jesus, our power is over them is broken. Now you listen to that. You hear what it said, okay? So let them go to the churches, let them have their covered dish dinners, but steal their time so that they don't have time to develop a relationship with Jesus. You know, Facebook, TV, cell phones, and all of the things that we do that keep us from really being close to God and having a relationship with him that we should, and taking time to talk to God every day. Every day, okay. So let them go to their church, let them have their covered dish dinners, but steal their time. So they don't have time to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do, said the devil. Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintain that vital connection throughout their day. How shall we do this? His demons shouted. Keep them busy in the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds, he answered. Tempt them to spend, and borrow, borrow, borrow. Persuade the wives to go to work for long hours and the husbands to work 6 to 7 days each week, 10 to 12 hours a day, so they can afford their empty lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children as their families fragment. Soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so that they cannot hear that still, small voice. Entice them to play the radio or iPad or text whenever they drive, to keep the TV, DVDs, CDs, and their PCs going constantly in their home, and see to it that every store and restaurant in the world plays non-biblical music constantly. You don't want to hear what God has to say even through music. You know, you want the other kind. This would jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Fill the coffee tables with magazines and newspapers. Pound their minds with the news 24 hours a day. Invade their driving moments with billboards. Up to him. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail. Mail order catalogs, sweepstakes, and every kind of newsletter and promotion offering free products, services, and false hopes. False hopes. Keep skinny, beautiful models on the magazines and TV so their husbands will believe that outward beauty is what's important, and they'll become dissatisfied with their wives. This really happens now. It's not just talk, it really happens. Keep the wives too tired to love their husbands at night. Give them headaches too. If they don't give their husbands the love that they need, they will begin to look elsewhere. So then we got a lot of what? Adultery going on, you know. Elsewhere. That will fragment their families quickly. Give them Santa Claus to distract them from teaching their children the real meaning of Christmas. Give them an Easter bunny so that they won't talk about his resurrection and power over sin and death. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted. Keep them too busy to go out in nature and reflect on God's creation. You're too busy. You're tired from what you've been doing. And you haven't quite become tired of the empty life that you're living without God. You know, to me, that's an empty life if you don't have God. Okay. Send them to amusement parks, sporting events, plays, concerts, and movies instead. Keep them busy, busy, busy. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip. Now that's the easy one for everybody, right? And small talk so that they leave with troubled consciences. You know, when you leave, you're not feeling too good. Your conscience may be bothering. Maybe you feel guilty about something. Crowd their lives with so many good causes, they have no time to seek power from Jesus. Soon they'll be working in their own strength, sacrificing their health and family for the good of the cause. And that's true. That's exactly what would happen. It will work. This is what he said. He said, it will work. And he's right. I mean, Satan is really right. It will work. It will work. It was quite a plan. The demons went eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to get busier and more rush, going here and there, having little time for their God or their families, having no time to tell others about the power of Jesus to change lives. And that's what we would be doing when we go out into the community. I guess the question is, has the devil been successful in his schemes? You be the judge. Does busy mean B-E-I-N-G, U-N-D-E-R, under, S-A-T-A-N, as Satan's, Y-O-K-E? Is that what business mean? Oh, well, okay, I'll say it anyway. Please pass this on if you are too busy I don't think I know 10 people who would admit they love Jesus. Do you love him? If you love Jesus, pass this on. And this was something I got somewhere a while back. And I'm not asking anybody to show to raise their hands, but if you had folks to raise their hand and say, how many people in here really love God? How many people love Jesus Christ? How many people love the Holy Spirit? And you would be hard pressed to find anyone who would raise their hands. Really. And one of the things that was mentioned about love, about God, the love that God has for us. And we know that God loves us. I don't think, well, this is just a guess. I don't think anyone in here would say, God doesn't love me. I think we would say that God loves us. And I think you would say, if asked, you would say you love God. I don't think that would be a problem. But the thing about it, we may love God, but we have to show it. We have to trust him. And we have to learn to depend on him. And one example I can think of is Pastor High's retirement. And the way things were going, you know, just trying to collect money for people. So we didn't know how many persons would be there, you know, for the retirement. So the one thing that I said and told the group that we were meeting with, the committee, and I said, I am going to trust God all the way that I was going. Well, basically what it is, depend on him. That's what I said. Depend on him 100%. Because, you know, we start out depending, and you know what happens. And if it takes too long, you go and take it out of his hands and say, well, I think I can do this, this, this. That's what you do. And the thing about it, what I said was, I am going for this retirement. I am going to totally depend on God. And I didn't want to get to no place that I was saying, oh, I don't know, things are not looking too good. We only have X number of persons who signed, you know, who turned their money in and so on. And then we actually end up going past the deadline. But I still depended on God. And the one thing I'm happy about is that I did it to the very end. I was determined this was not going to be a we start and then we stop, because he's not doing anything, not doing that much. So 100%, and God, he answered, he came through. That was a very, very good event. And giving God total credit. Amen. Total credit. And because, and as God says, look, he doesn't share his glory with anyone. And he did it. He did it. That's truthful. That's one thing I can say that happened. And that we had people, even people not part of the church, a number of people there who were not part of our congregation came. So he answered. He heard. He answered. And he blessed me to be able to keep going and said, yeah, you're going to do it. And not give up. That's the part I'm so happy about. Not giving up. One of the things, thinking about Satan, we know how busy he is. We know that there's so many lost sheep out there in this community. We know about what's in the world, but we're going to be concerned right now basically about this community. There are many, many lost sheep. And if you ever take the time, whether you went to a door, or maybe you saw a lady in the community, was in the store, whatever, and if you took the time to talk to that person, and you would have done a great service for one thing. A great service for one thing. And you will find that, well, it's not hard to talk to that person, you know. And if you continue to have relationships with them, what you will develop a relationship with them, continue to talk to them, and they would be appreciative of the fact that we took the time to stop by. We took the time to talk to them, and we would have a relationship. And we don't have to, like, go door to door to say, well, you know, we this church down so-and-so, we want you to come. That's not even the point. We want to point them to God, to Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do, and that would be the purpose. So we don't have to think we have to twist arms or whatever and say, come to our church there. But at any rate, somebody else who has more information on this will probably give you the information about what we are going to do at one point. We cannot allow Satan to win. We cannot allow Satan to win. I'm just repeating this because I might not have said it loud enough. We can't do this. The people in this community, and it's not only this community, you could choose any community, whatever, and it doesn't make any difference, the fact that it may be a higher class. But I will tell you, they have a host of problems, those higher class people, with all of the money and the houses and the cars. They do have problems. So, but right now, this is where God wants us to be. This is what he wants us to do. The lost in this community are hurting. They're sad. They're anxious. They're dealing with a lot of financial problems. And one of the things, you can go through the community and look at all of the boarded up homes, you know. And the children and relationships with their children and with their husbands, maybe on the verge of the divorce or somebody out there cheating, whatever the case may be. People having no hope. And I think you will find a host of people in this community who do not have hope, really do not have hope. And then it's a dangerous thing not to have hope, because when you don't have hope, you will find that you have a lot of suicidal people on your hand. Because when they get to that point where they are feel that they have no hope, they kill themselves. They will, you know. And if anybody tell you that they're thinking about killing themselves or doing things that you think is leading to that, take them serious. Don't think, well, he's not going to do it. They will do it. And I remember the time in visiting with another coworker, and we went to this woman's house. She was 23 years old, had a three-year-old child, and she was laying in the floor. Dead. She had overdosed, had killed herself. And that is a sad, sad thing to see. How many people ever talked to her about Jesus? Probably, I won't say none because I don't know, but few will say that. Is there someone who could have changed her mind, who could have kept her from feeling that she had to commit suicide? And that's a sad thing when people get to the point that they would rather be dead than living. And God wants us to live. He wants us to join him in the work he is doing, you know. He wants us to help one another, to pray for one another. We have to pray for one another. And hopefully, when we go through the variety of problems that we're going to encounter being here, that it will make a difference, that we will begin to see the change. And not only the change in the people who live in the community, I mean thinking about the poor people. You got all the politicians, you know, and you know what the problems are here with the politicians. They need prayer too. They need prayer too. And maybe reaching out and see if they can come aboard with some of us and get out there and do what they can possibly do to help the community. Let us make a decision to serve in Christ's work. Remember, keep in mind, remember, we are God's ears, his eyes, his hands, and his feet. And we are expected to do certain work. There is much work to be done. We know that. And once we get into what is going on, we see many, many problems. And maybe you didn't realize people were having. But we are going out there together, the sheep, the lost sheep. And that's what I was thinking about as this community joining Jesus Christ and gathering the lost sheep, because we are helping him in the work he is doing. We need to follow Jesus Christ. We need to see, and that was one of the things on our list for everybody who's on the prayer, who's getting on the prayer line. We need to see the world through God's eyes. God's eyes. And that would be totally different from what the way we see things as individual. And we need to see that. And if you think about God, when he see people going astray, or see all of those folks down there who do not even know him, who do not even know the name of Jesus Christ. And he has all of us that could be out there sharing, that could be out there doing. And we just have to do that. And I know it's probably, you can think about him being sad. Oh, I just wish they would follow Christ and that they would do what it is we want them to do. We are to share the gospel with our fellow man and to do it as Jesus' eyes, ears, hands, and feet. We are to reach out to the lost. Lives would be changed. And here in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. And I know God is going to be totally pleased with us when we go out there and start doing the work he wants us to do. And we are going to do it. We're going to do it. Maybe gradually people do it, but we want to help the people in the community. And we want to do whatever it is that we, this is not working too well, but we want to do whatever it is that Christ said, you go do this, you go do that, and whatever, and to fully realize that he is there and he is helping us every step of the way. Even if you come to a point, it seems like discouraging. Oh, you know, you come to that point, you get to, no, I'm not going to do it, I can't do it. But pray, fast. Now, that's one of the things we had to learn to do. Fast. And that's what people mentioned today in prayer partners. Praying and fasting. We have to do that. And I am so glad. It's wonderful that he turned this big assignment over to all of these wonderful folks sitting out there. So get busy. You will be asked to participate. So I know everybody going to say, yes, yes, right? Yes. Okay. One last thing I don't want to miss this. It says, and this is for all of us, you probably got this. Okay, you ladies. I am a disciple. It's Mark 1:18 and Matthew 4:20. And that we are all on mission for God, from God, right? All of us. I hate to put words in your mouth, but and it says here the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship. And you know, people say, well, when you just give everything over to God, which is what we should do. And it's a scary thing. You notice it totally over to God. And then the other thing people say, well, when we do this, Satan is going to really be behind. He's going to be after us. He's going to do, you know, all of the things we think Satan will do once we give our life over to God. But Satan can't do no more than God allow him to do. And we have a say in this, you know. So this says the cost of discipleship. You see what this word says? Everything, everything to really be a true servant of Jesus Christ and to get his name out there, really. And we're going to do it. I know we're going to do it. Let's think, we're going to have all these people we're going to be able to help here, because God's going to help us and he's going to lay it on your heart to get out there and participate, right? I almost heard a few people on this side. What did you say?
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to close with prayer. Heavenly Father, and great and merciful God, we just thank you, Father, for being our Heavenly Father. We thank you for Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the love relationship we have. And we know you love us and we love you. And Father, we know we have so many people, we realize, in this community that needs help, that needs to hear your word, that need to have someone to talk to, Eternal Father, that need the changes that Jesus Christ is working in this community to change. And Father, we just need to come along beside him and join him and follow him, and it can be done. And I know you want people to live good lives. You want them to live better lives. You want them to know about you and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So Father, please guide us, direct us, strengthen us, and encourage the people here, Eternal Father, to have a mindset that they are going to get out there in the community and do whatever the work is you want them to do. And Father in heaven, I thank you for the blessings you bestowed upon us. I thank you for the new pastor we have, Kenneth Barker, and I thank you for Lisa Barker as well. And Almighty God, I just pray that there will continue to be much spiritual growth in this congregation. And please help us to pick up the gauntlet and to move forward, Eternal Father, determined we're going to make a difference in this community. I thank you, Father, and ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.